Blog Talk Radio.
Will be done by the word in his book, you will see.
One day, one day, one day. children will play. thinking about the world, looking at the nation. Suicide, genocide, homicide. Three words come to mind. Times are changing, yeah. No more rumors, there are wars going on. Twisted doctor, scientists making clones. Economy got some backs against the wall. People dying for no reason at all. People of God don't even read their Bibles. There's no faith, no trust in the word. But everybody seems to be quoting scripture. It's just another word they heard. Pastors leaving pulpits cause they're tired. It's all based on how we feel. Overheard two people speaking the other day. One said that God's not real, but I'm just one of them more people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. And I believe, yeah. I believe, yeah. So I'll choose to look on the brighter side in spite of all the negativity I'm surrounded by. No, it ain't perfect, but that's alright. Cause his hand is on me and he's keeping me alive. So many disappointments. So much I don't understand. So much I don't have answers for. That's what makes me trust you more. In a world that's always changing, everything's rearranging. But no matter what's going on, I'ma be standing, I'ma be holding on. Your truth, their truth, my truth. Your God, my God, our view. All I know is one thing nowadays, is we all need hope, we all need faith, and I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just one of them old people God's got a hold on. Let go of me, Lord, please. I believe, I believe. Yeah. Oh, I'm just one of them old people who's got a hold on. Sometimes I can't see, but I still believe he's taking care of me. Yes, he is. Oh, I'm just
where there's a will, there's a way, yeah. You gotta seek and you will find, yeah. The way until I read.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth. This is the Bible study that focuses on the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth concerning the Word of God, while leaving out all personal opinions, speculations, and beliefs. I'm Brother Joshua, and today, reading for us, as usual, is one of my favorite readers who also happens to be an Absolute Bible Truth University student. This is the one, the only, Kevin J. Go ahead, brother.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Can y'all hear me okay?
Shabbat shalom. You are loud and clear, sir.
All right, man. Thanks again for allowing me to read for you and the family. Again, everybody, if I'm not heard clear, clearly, or if there's an echo, please let me know. I'll try to fix it. But again, thanks again. Looks like it's going to be another good lesson. Got to shake the dust off of our feet. Yes, I'm liking that already.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And, of course, we appreciate you reading for us today and any and all input you will have. And just like you said, it's going to be a good one, God willing. And I look forward to any input you may have on it. Right? But before we get started, let me first say to everybody on Clubhouse listening in, welcome. We are happy to have you here. If there is anybody who is listening for the first time, we have to set the ground rules for you. First of all, we want you to understand that this is our Sabbath study. What that means is this is not an open discussion. Right now, nobody else other than me and my mods will be allowed on the stage until the study is over. Once the study is over, you know what to do. Raise your hand, and one of my mods will bring you up to the stage, and you can ask any question or make any comment you want, provided you are respectful. And speaking of respect, that goes double to those of you in the chat room. Keep it respectful. Don't go spamming up the chat with scriptures. My mods will be posting scriptures and updates in the chat. If you're spamming up the chat, people will not see the scriptures being posted or the updates. Also, don't be arguing with each other in the chat. Don't be trolling the chat. If you do, one of my mods will promptly expel you from the room. No warning, no reasoning with you. You just got to go. We got to keep it respectful, and we can't function if someone is being disruptive. Now, with that out the way, the title of today's class is Rules of the Gospel. Shaking off the dust of your feet. Now, I want y'all to pay attention to this title. Again, it is Rules of the Gospel. Shaking off the dust of your feet. Now, I decided to do this class again. I did it before years ago. I think I did it even twice before years ago. One time on our own personal Sabbath study, and another time on Debate Talk for You with Sal Showtime's Blog Talk Radio, right? And, of course, my people who've been with me for a while, they've heard it before, so they know I had to, you know, spice it up a little bit so they can be edified too. Because even when I do the same classes again, I have to add new material for my people who've heard the old material before so they can still learn a different outlook on the material. It'll be more advanced. It'll be more concise for them. So everybody still wins. But the reason why I want to do this again is because I believe it was Kev of the Dust, one of you, during the Q&A a few weeks back, said maybe you need to do that class again about shaking off the dust of your feet. Now, many of you may not even know what that phrase means, and that's okay. We're going to go through it today. But it is something that Jesus instructed, commanded his very first disciples to do when it comes to preaching the gospel. And if you look at the title of this class, it's titled Rules of the Gospel. Because I don't know if any of you understand this or not, but there are rules to preaching the gospel. And a lot of places, I would go as far as saying the majority of places where people study the Word of God, they're not telling you that there are rules to preaching the gospel. Now, of course, they are telling you that you're not supposed to go against the gospel. And when we hear that, we think going against the gospel simply means things like denying that Jesus is the Son of God, or that he came in the flesh, or that he died for the sins of the world. And all that is true. If you go against that, you are going against the gospel. But nobody is telling you that in addition to what the gospel teaches about Jesus Christ and what he taught, because that's what the gospel is. The word gospel itself just means good news or glad tidings. That's what the word gospel itself means. But the gospel itself is about the life and teachings of Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach or Yahawashah. That is what and who the gospel is about. And when Jesus first introduced the gospel, he put rules with it. And quite frankly, a lot of you have been breaking these rules when it comes to preaching the gospel. And quite frankly, a lot of you are going to be in the lake of fire in hell with the very people you claim you're trying to reach because you don't know how to follow instructions. See, this is not a suggestion. Shaking the dust off your feet is not a suggestion. It is not a recommendation. It is a commandment, and a lot of you don't want to do that. So you're going to go to hell. There's no hope for you if you cannot obey the gospel. I'm going to show you this. See, I'm not going to be, and you know how people like to say, I'll be damned if such and such and such happens. They say that as an expression. But in reality, I can say, I'll be damned if I'm going to let one of y'all get me put in a lake of fire because I don't know how to shake off the dust of my feet. That's not just the expression, I'll be damned if. That's literal. Because you will be damned if you let one of them put you in a lake of fire because you can't shake off the dust of your feet. And what that simply means is once you tried to show people the truth, either through discussion, debate, argument, doesn't matter, and you can clearly see they are not receiving it. They don't believe you. They are not accepting it. Shaking off the dust of your feet just simply means not arguing with those people anymore, moving on, separating yourself from them. We're going to show you specifically in more detail, then it's a little deeper than that, but that's in a nutshell on the surface, that's what it means. And quite frankly, a lot of you have not done that. So you're out here thinking you're doing all this good when all you're doing is reserving you a spot in the lake of fire. See, one thing Jesus emphasized more than anything else is obedience to him. That's why he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Everybody's saying they love the Messiah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Yeshua. We love you, Yahweh Shai. But you don't want to obey him. And he gave commandments regarding preaching the gospel. This is a commandment. If you're going to go to the lake of fire, go as a sinner. Don't go as a stubborn fool who loves the gospel but doesn't want to obey everything the gospel says. Because you're going to get the same punishment. So we're going to show you today that this is a rule of the gospel. And if you do not obey the gospel, then it's the hell fire for you. That's it. Plain and simple. You can get mad at me. You can keep doing whatever you want to do. But when you stand on judgment day, you're not going to be able to plead ignorance. You're not going to be able to say, I didn't know. You're not going to be able to say, hey, I studied under ADT and Brother Josh and all them brothers and sisters over there for years, and they never showed me this. He's going to say, to my recollection, he's taught it at least three times. And the third time was in even more detail and simpler to grasp. Because each time I do another class, everybody can attest, I make the information even more simple. And it was already dummy-proof to begin with, right? So we're going to get this started first in 2 Thessalonians. Just to show you the seriousness of not obeying the gospel, right? This is 2 Thessalonians. And see, people need to know this because y'all on Clubhouse just acting up. Y'all wilding out. And y'all all think that you're just, just walk into the kingdom. Y'all breaking rules left and right. Now, of course, I'm not talking to anybody who does not believe in the New Testament. You damned already anyway. Yes, I said it. You don't have to believe that. That's what the New Testament teaches. I can't sugarcoat that. You deny Jesus, you're going to hell. We'll see who's right on judgment day. So I'm not talking to you anyway. If you don't believe in Jesus or I'm concerned, you're just fuel for the lake of fire anyway. This is for people who believe in the New Testament Messiah. I'm trying to save y'all from yourselves. This is not one of those situations where the devil is out to get you or the enemies of the cross are out to get you. This is Josh trying to save you from yourselves. Because a lot of y'all don't want to admit it, but you are your own worst enemy. Not people on Clubhouse. It's not people out in the real world. It's you. You have no self-control. You have no temperance. So on judgment day, when you get thrown into the lake of fire, you're not going to have anybody to blame but yourself. There are going to be people who go to hell, and God is going to tell them, well, you were partakers with this other person. You know, they helped you get there, but ultimately it was your choice. There's going to be some scenarios where you can claim, well, he influenced me, and he was a bad, influence, and God is like, yeah, but it was still ultimately your choice. But in this situation right here, this is all you, baby. So you can't blame anybody else for this. You don't know how to follow instructions. You're picking and choosing what part of the gospel you want to follow. So this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7, and 8. Look what Paul is telling these Thessalonians what Jesus is going to do. When you get there, Kevin J., read, please.
This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels.
And it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You know this is in the future. This is about the second coming or the second advent of Jesus. Continue.
Verse 8. And flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now look what this says. In flaming fire, that means somebody's going to get burned up by Jesus and his angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That means they don't acknowledge God. It don't mean they don't know of God or never heard of the God of the Bible at all. It means they don't acknowledge him. Right? And, this is important, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Kevin J., did he get specific when he said obey not the gospel, like what particular part of the gospel, or he just said, don't obey the gospel, period?
He said, don't obey the gospel, period.
So anything that the gospel instructs us to do, if we don't do it, don't we fall into this category of people who flame and vengeance will be taken upon?
Yes, sir, according to text.
See, I want people to understand that. See, you're thinking, because you're out here preaching, Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. Repent. And all that good stuff, you're in the clear. You think because you're teaching love your neighbor, forgiveness, and mercy, you're in the clear. But that's not all the gospel teaches. There are rules to teaching and preaching the gospel. And if you are breaking the rules of teaching and preaching the gospel, you're going to be as damned as the people you're trying to save. And nobody is telling people about these rules. And one of these rules is shaking off the dust of your feet. Y'all don't know how to do it. Why even waste your time? How you going to save somebody and you're damned? The damned can't save, y'all. Don't y'all understand that? Let me say that again. The damned cannot save. And a lot of y'all are damned to walking around here. Don't even know it. That don't mean you're definitely going to hell. It just means you got to change some stuff up. How can you say people are damned, Josh? Who do you think you are? I'm not condemning anybody specifically. I'm just telling you that if you don't obey the gospel, you're going to be destroyed by Jesus. And if he destroys you, you know he's sending you to hell. So I'm trying to show you that if you're not obeying the gospel, you are going to the lake of fire. Any part of the gospel. If it says you have to do something, that's what you have to do. If you're like, no, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do this my way, then you're just as damned as the people who deny Jesus. You're just as damned. That's why I said, if you're going to go as a straight-up sinner. If you're going to hell. But let's move on, because let me show you that somebody else knew this. This is what Paul said. Let's go to 1 Peter. We can't make the gospel be what we want it to be, nor can we pick and choose which rules of the gospel we want to follow. We have to follow them all. People think they just pick up a Bible and just go out and just do this any kind of way. No rules, no strategy, no tactics. Just go out there and just argue with people endlessly. Keep opening up clubhouse rooms, trying to generate the same old argument over and over again, not even adding any new insight to them, just the same old argument. These people are damned. Don't y'all understand that? Because they're not obeying the gospel. And if I'm sitting under somebody who's damned, where do you think I'm going? If I'm entertaining that, if I'm listening to that, if I go running in there, I'm trying to save you from yourself. This is not me telling you, oh, the devil is on the prowl trying to get you, even though you know the devil can incite lack of temperance in us. No, the devil is always in the details. Y'all know that. But ultimately, this is just you lacking self-control and being disobedient. That'll be messed up. You're going to be one of those people on judge today. Lord, have I not done any worse in your name? You're going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. How could Jesus say that to somebody on judgment day, Kevin J., if they legitimately were doing all of that? Because they didn't obey all the rules of the gospel. Yeah, you preached them. You told people to repent. But you don't know how to shake off the dust of your feet. So you became an unprofitable servant. The first thing I got to establish to y'all is y'all supposed to be obeying the gospel. And apparently, y'all don't know what the gospel is. You know, in the details. You know, ask any Christian or any Hebrew, it's like, oh, gospel just means good news, Josh. What else? Well, it's talking about the life in Jesus, the life and teachings of Jesus. Okay, what else? Well, that's pretty much it. No, it's not. What are the teachings of Jesus? Well, Josh, I just told you, know, repent, love your neighbor, mercy. What about how to preach the gospel? Did he teach anything about that? Did he set any rules for how? See, all we want to deal with is what. What do we do? Nobody wants to address how do we go about doing it. Did he get any rules on that? You even go back to the Old Testament law. Old Testament law is filled with what and how. God didn't just tell them what to do. He told them how to go about doing it. Yeah. Now, y'all want to do it. Y'all worked in Stone Cold in WWE when this what phase was going on. See, my wrestling fans know what I'm talking about. Because all he just kept saying was, what, what, what? That's all y'all concerned with is the what. Ain't nobody concerned with the how. How do we go about doing it? If we focused on the how, you wouldn't have a lot of people walking around today as Israelites telling you, you can keep the holy days today. You cannot. The holy days is the what. But the law also deals with the how. How do you keep the Feast of Tabernacles? How do you keep the Day of Atonement? And then you start going along looking at the how, and you say, oh, we can't do that. And that's what y'all been getting. Y'all been getting a lot of what preachers and leaders and elders. They'll what you to death. But when we start getting into the how, that's when everybody starts getting confused. Those are two things you're supposed to be focused on most, and then you throw a little wind in there and a little wear in there as it applies. But what and how are the first two things you need to be focusing on? What is it and how do we do it? And when it comes to the gospel, most people know the what, but they don't deal with the how. How do we go about preaching the gospel, Josh? Are there any rules? That's what we're looking at today. Because when we deal with this, how a lot of y'all are going to see that you were damned. I've been just disobeying the gospel. I've just been out here just living my best life. Cutting up. If I would have died, I would have went to hell. That's a scary thought. When you come to the realization that all this time, you really been disobeying the gospel. I don't see any stipulations or exemptions for anybody who's openly disobeying the gospel getting a pass to the kingdom. Ignorance of it? Maybe. Just falling short but repenting and keeping it going? Maybe. But just flat out disobeying? I don't see anybody getting a pass for that. And I've been telling y'all this for years. So now I'm combining two things, like I did last week, to make things easier for you. Right? But this is 1 Peter chapter 4, 16 to 17. Watch what Peter says. Read, please.
It's 1 Peter chapter 4. You said 16?
And 17, yes, sir.
16, 17. All right. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
He said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf, meaning if you are persecuted for your Christian beliefs because you're following Christ, which means you're following the gospel, it tells you, don't be ashamed of that. But let him glorify God on this behalf. That means you're doing the right thing. That's why he said, bless them that persecute you. Rejoice when you are persecuted. That means you're doing the right thing. But continue.
17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, where shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Now, the first thing I want y'all to notice in verse 17, Peter said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. House of God here refers to the believers, followers of Jesus, Christians, Nazarenes, whatever you want to call them. He said, you know, that judgment begins with the Christian, with the messianic. What does he judge us on? He lets you know. Then it says, and if it first begins at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's a rhetorical question. He says, you know, if God is going to judge us to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do, what do you think he's going to do to the people who straight up not obeying the gospel? Unfortunately, the Christian and the one that is disobedient to the gospel has become the same in one. I'm showing y'all this first so y'all can see that the gospel is to be obeyed. All of it, not just the nice stuff that gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. That's all y'all want to focus on, especially the Christians. And the Hebrew Israelites, they could give a damn about the rules of the gospel. They don't even care. They just out here just doing whatever. They don't care about the rules of the gospel. If they care about the rules of the gospel, they wouldn't be teaching 50% of the stuff that they teach. I ain't ever read anything in the gospel about hating anybody, and they're teaching hate. I'm going to do a whole class on that with the rules of the gospel. They're damned too, unless they repent. You got a lot of damned people walking around here, y'all. I just want y'all to know that. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just, if this book is to be believed, then the consequences of what it states happen to people who are doing wrong also must be believed. And I don't bite my tongue on either one. And a lot of us are sending a bunch of condemned people thinking somebody who's condemned can save you. It's like you're looking for salvation from somebody on death row. They walk in that last green mile right now, and you want them to save you, dude. I'm about to die myself. I'm condemned. What can I do for you? I can't even make a phone call to help you. Because y'all don't want to follow the rules. See, a lot of Christians thought that, you know, we ain't got to keep the law no more, so there are no more rules. We're free. Like the gospel doesn't have rules or something. People don't even understand that the gospel is a form of a law. They don't even understand that. How's that a law? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Commandments are instructions. That's what laws are. They're rules. All these things are synonyms. Rules, commandments, laws, instructions. And y'all just breaking the rules of the gospel. Doesn't even matter. Then when somebody like me comes along and show you that, y'all get mad at me. But we see what Peter and Paul both had to say about people who don't obey the gospel. Gospel, period. He didn't say this part of the gospel or that part. Gospel means the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what that refers to, his life and his teachings. If you are violating the teachings, you are not obeying the gospel. If it's one thing you're violating, you're not obeying the gospel. It is a collective. It is not multiple choice. Well, I want to obey this part, but I ain't feeling that part. And people struggle with different parts and think that if they don't like it, they ain't got to do it. The gospel tells us to be forgiving. A lot of y'all struggle with that. Y'all don't want to forgive stuff. Y'all don't want to let stuff go. But you want God to forgive you, though. A lot of y'all don't want to be merciful to people who did you wrong. But you're going to be looking for mercy on Judgment Day. That's all you got on Judgment Day. You can't please. You can't. I hope everybody understands that. All we can believe is the blood of Jesus. That's you looking for mercy. All of this is gospel stuff. But there are rules to this, too. Now let's move on. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Let me show you when Jesus was first gathering his 12 disciples. He told them what he was going to teach them to do before they even became a collective. It's the first hint of that. This is Matthew 4. We're going to read verses 18 and 19 when we get there. I want all of you to understand this. I got to show you all of this before I can explain shaking the dust off your feet. Because on Clubhouse, this is one of the biggest things people struggle with. I used to struggle with it years ago. And I'm talking about like over 15 years ago. I used to be that guy, Kev. Got to keep on arguing with him. Don't want to let it go. Then I started reading this gospel even more. You know what, bro? I'm not going to go to the lake of fire because I can't stop arguing with LaRon Campbell. And I'm only throwing his name out there because that's somebody I've been knowing on social media for like 12 years. And y'all know that LaRon doesn't just let stuff go. I am not going to go to the lake of fire because I can't shake off the dust of my feet concerning Bleedo. And I love both of them, brothers. It's not a shot at neither one of them. But these are two brothers who think that they were put here to argue with me and apparently other people for eternity. No. And some of y'all got your own little all-time rivals that you don't know how to shake the dust off your feet concerning. And you're feeling superior because you know you're right in principle. You know that your argument is the right one. You're feeling right in principle. So what happens on judgment day if they don't repent and hear you and you don't stop arguing back and forth with them and shake out the dust of your feet? Both of y'all are going to be on the lake in the lake of fire. And the God we serve can be that petty sometimes where he'll put y'all both right next to each other and be like, okay, you going to the lake of fire because you didn't listen to nothing that my servant, I'm going to put Cam and Jay, that my servant Cam and Jay said. Cam and Jay standing right there, yeah. See, he told you shouldn't listen to me. Then you look at Cam and Jay, and you going to the lake of fire because you argued with this man for 10 years. You didn't take all the dust of your feet. I told you to do that. You go right there with him. Now you're looking real stupid. You don't want to be that dude. Y'all have had a scenario where you were left home with your siblings, and then your mom and your dad came home, and one of your siblings were in trouble. And you're like, ooh, when daddy get home, you're going to get a whooping. And then daddy comes home, and the kid got a whooping, your brother. Yeah, and you standing on the side, all smug. Yeah. And then your dad say, and you were supposed to be watching him. Make sure he didn't do that. And then he whooped you too.
Right.
So you don't want that kind of scenario. And like I said, God is petty. When I say petty, I don't mean literally petty. Y'all know that's like, man, that's petty. But he's the type of God that'll do that. If y'all don't believe me, look at the parables that Jesus gave concerning Judgment Day where he'll have the two violators like in the same scenario where they can see each other.
Oh, yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of y'all going to be. You should have listened to my servant, Kevin J. He was telling you right. Kevin J., yeah, that's right. Tell him God. Tell him. Oh, you wrong too. What I do? So you take off the dust of your feet. But you just said I was right. You got it right the first one or two times. You both take off the dust of your feet. That man didn't want to hear you. Do y'all really want that to be your scenario? This is the rules of the gospel, y'all. This is not a suggestion. And you're going to see this now. Matthew 4, 18 and 19. Read that, please. It's Jesus collecting his disciples. Go ahead.
And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Now he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you what? What did they say, Gary?
Fishers of men.
I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to show you how to catch people, right? That's what he's telling them. I'm going to show you how to catch people, right? Why is he telling them that? I'm going to teach you how to convert people. Convert people to what? To believe in the gospel. That's what he's telling them. Now, me personally, I've never fished a day in my life. Not old school fishing, not modern fishing, but I know enough about it to know that there are techniques and strategies and rules to being a fisherman. You have to be patient. You have to know where you're fishing to determine what kind of fish you're going to catch. You got to know what right bait to use. But he's telling them that. He's telling them, I'm going to make you converters of people. I'm going to show you how to convert people to this faith. That's what he's telling them. So off the bat, he's letting them know, I'm going to show you how to do something. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to have you out here just willy-nilly. I'm going to show you how to do this. Now that we understand that, now let's go to Mark chapter 6. Y'all disobeying the gospel. I don't understand how you think disobeying the gospel is the key to getting in the kingdom. A lot of y'all are going to let a lot of these people drag you down. It's still your own fault, though. Don't get it twisted. Because can't nobody drag you down unless you let them. And y'all don't understand this. And I go on Clubhouse. Y'all know I hardly ever go into rooms. I'm just like a bad student. I'm walking the halls. I'm a student cutting class. I walk the halls. I don't really go into the classrooms. And I see the same people on stage on a controversial title that's been argued to death. You right on there with them. Don't tell me you just they're just observing. You don't heard all of it before. You don't know how to shake off the dust of your feet. And I lead by example. Y'all don't hear me telling y'all all this, then y'all jump on Clubhouse and y'all see me. Every time I teach y'all something, people that have been at ABT for a while, they will tell you, Josh has never functioned as a hypocrite. He ain't ever told us, don't do something, then he does it. I always lead by example. Y'all know that. Because people will follow what you do more than what you say anyway. Y'all know that. It's just like children.
Yeah.
But y'all need to know, this is not my suggestion. I know to some people who ain't been around that long, I put this stuff out here as if it was a suggestion. You know, preserve your health. Don't let your blood pressure go up and all that stuff. But people that have been at ABT for a minute, I've been told them that this is something we're not allowed to do. We cannot keep arguing back and forth with the same people who do not want to receive the gospel. We're not supposed to do that. And the gospel includes the law. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you don't supposed to be arguing with the same people about things concerning the law either, because that's overshadowed by the gospel. The gospel supersedes that. So that's part of the gospel, not done away with, but it has been absorbed, if you will, into the gospel. In other words, the gospel does not nullify the law. So don't be trying to look for a little loophole. Well, I want to argue about the gospel. I'm arguing about the law. The law is part of the gospel. You just look at the teachings of Jesus and see that. So I want people to understand this. You have to stop or you will go to hell. I'm going to show you that. Here go the rules right here. Just like I showed y'all last week in the class about how you're supposed to pay the preacher but tithe to the priest. And we showed y'all first he set it up right here, and then we go into Paul's letters and show that this was a rule. This was a commandment. It wasn't just with these early disciples. So this is Mark chapter 6, 7 to 12. Let's see how Jesus set this up. Mark chapter 6, 7 to 12. When you get there, read it, please.
And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two.
Mm-hmm.
And gave them power over the unclean spirits.
So he gave them power over demons. That's what unclean spirits are, right? Continue, please.
8. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse.
And we know from last week's class why he told them don't bring any of that. But continue.
9. But be shod with sandals and not put on two coats.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto them, and what place soever ye enter into a house, thereby till ye depart from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart this, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.
Now look at what he told them, and as I said, I'm going to show you that this did not just apply to the first 12. It extended all the way into what would become the church. That was a rule. And Paul and his companions lived by this rule. It says, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them if they will not receive you nor hear you. What that means is, if you are trying to convey something to somebody, whether in discussion, whether in argument, and they don't want to hear you, you shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. It don't mean they literally did that, even though some of them might have actually did it just to be theatric. But what that means is you are saying, I am done. That's what that means. You're done. And a lot of y'all ain't been done in a long time. This is a rule. He's commanding them to do this. Isn't he, Cam and Jay? He didn't say, if you feel like it, you know, shake off the dust on your feet. Did he say that, Cam and Jay?
No, sir.
And I'm going to show you this applies to us today, because when I teach, I like to keep stuff in context. I'm not going to take something that just applies to the disciples of that time and try to universalize it and put it on everybody. There are times when he was just talking specifically to them. And there are times where he was talking to them and they were the progenitors of what would become something universal. So first I'm showing you where it started, and I'm going to show you that this did not just apply to them. That's what you're supposed to do. Shaking off the dust of your feet is synonymous with you saying, I am done. Arguing with you, reasoning with you, trying to teach you, done. Not done, and then 2 years later, somebody comes back and we crank it up again. No, done forever. Not taking a break, not taking a vacation, done. Now, they come back later and they want to hear it, just listen to you, and be instructed by you, that's different. But coming back just to rekindle an old rivalry or argument, no, done. Because if you're not done, you will be done, well done, in the lake of fire. And y'all don't know how to be done. That's why when I go on Clubhouse, I see the same people in the same room under the same controversial topic. You're not done. If you're even in there, you're not done. Don't tell me you're done and you up in there. When the movie is over, what do you do, Kevin? Say you go to the movie is over. You don't, you know, these days we got to stick around for the end credits because they be showing Easter eggs and stuff like that. But when, right, right, exactly, right? But when the movie is done, Kevin Jay, what do you do?
I leave.
You leave. Don't tell me you're done and you still sitting in the audience. If you still sitting in the audience, you either sleep or you're not done. You know, because you can fall asleep and don't even realize you're still in the room. Y'all know that. And people don't fall asleep in the movie theater.
Right.
Unless you don't have to come wake them up, tell them to leave. So don't tell me you're done and you're still in there. Y'all don't know what done means. You never broke up with somebody before, Kevin Jay? Y'all know what done means? That means I don't call her anymore. I don't accept her calls. I unfriend her. She unfriends me. That's what done means. A lot of y'all don't know what done means. Sisters don't either. Oh, I'm done with it. Then, babe, you right in there, not only in their audience, on their stage, but you done, though. But all the sisters know what done means when they find out that their boyfriend still texting their ex. All of a sudden, they are very learned in what done means. I thought you were done with her.
I am done with her, baby. You know, we just still text every night. No, that ain't done.
So now all of a sudden the sisters, they got the whole etymology of the word done down then, don't they? Now, done means you ain't texting her, she ain't texting you, you ain't calling her, she ain't calling you. Everybody knows what done means, except when it comes to this gospel. Now we want to make excuses.
If you are done, be done in every sense of the word. I'm done arguing about it. I'm done even being an audience to it. But I go on Clubhouse and I see the same people run into the same controversies claiming they done. You're not done. I'm going to show y'all the definition of done. D-O-N-E, not D-A-W-N, just in case somebody in the audience and they want to argue that a day begins, that done. you know, they'll come in the room. He even shows the definition of done. He's about to break down when a day begins. You know, you got to, you know, keep people up to speed. D-O-N-E, y'all. Okay? But what did they do after that? Read verse 12.
And they went out and preached that men should repent.
And they went out and preached that men should repent. That is the gospel. That's the first thing it tells you, I think, in the book of Mark, when it says Jesus told them to preach the gospel, saying, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's one of the teachings of the gospel. Repent. So they're going out preaching the gospel. He gave them rules. How do we deal with people who don't want to receive what we're saying or who doesn't want to hear it? You shake off the dust of your feet for a testimony against them, and he lets you know it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the city of people who didn't want to hear them. Sodom and Gomorrah was completely destroyed.
Yep.
So how is something more tolerable for them? He's telling them that their destruction is going to be worse than what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, the people who didn't want to hear your message. So what good would it do for you if you're preaching destruction to Sodom and Gomorrah, and then you stay right there and get the destruction with them? That's what you're doing if you don't shake off the dust of your feet. Because what it means is to be done and depart. See, y'all think done just means I ain't going to argue about it. I'm just going to still be in the room. No, it also means leave. Separation, as Kevin of the Dust is always trying to tell y'all. Y'all don't really understand what done means. Done don't just mean inactivity. It also means separation. You know, like when you're in a relationship and you're done with your wife or your husband, what's supposed to happen after the relationship is done? Don't you move out? She moves out the house or you move out? Ain't this what happened? That's what done means. It's like you got a divorce, Kev. God forbid you ever do. But it's like you get a divorce. And then you go back out in the dating world and you bring some chick home. You know, you ain't trying to fornicate or nothing. You know, she's just coming over. You know, come over. Yeah, chill. She coming up. Your wife's still in the kitchen cooking. Your ex-wife. What's she doing over here? I thought you said you were divorced. Well, I am. What's she doing in here? Oh, you know, we done. But, you know, we still live together. That girl going to get up and walk out.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't know, she's going to tell you you stupid because you don't know what done means. Done also means separation. That's what it means to be done. It don't mean inactivity only. Oh, I ain't saying that. I'm just listening. I'm just in the audience. I'm just on the stage. No, you're not supposed to even be there. I'm sorry if I'm getting on a little people's skin, but I'm trying to save you from you. You'll thank me on Judgment Day. Let's move on. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. We're going to read the same thing, but in this gospel. This was an instruction. If you don't obey the gospel, you go to hell. That's what we read.
Yep.
Plain and simple. He's going to take flame and vengeance on you. That means you're going to hell. This is Luke chapter 9, 5-6. Luke 9, 5-6, when you get there, read, please. We're reading the same thing. This is the 12. This is the original 12. Go ahead and read.
Whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, take off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them.
If and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Notice that when you go out of that city. Why does it say when you go out of that city? Because when they didn't hear, what did the disciples do, Kevin?
They left.
They left. That's what done means. That means I'm leaving. I'm not going to stand around and listen to anymore. I'm done. Leave the clubhouse room. Get out of the Facebook post. Stop going back and forth on Instagram. Leave. Block people if you have to, because some people, they won't just let you leave. They won't let you just bow out. Block them if you have to. Y'all don't know how to leave. Y'all don't know how to really be done. You're not done. You're going to be well done in the lake of fire. Y'all need to stop this madness, man. This is the gospel rules. I can't come on here and teach mercy and repentance and love and forgiveness, but don't teach y'all this. This gospel do. Because see, now I'm going to have y'all blood on my hands. You didn't tell him, Josh. You had him out here doing all this. He didn't say nothing. Well, I ain't want nobody to get offended. You know what I'm saying? I ain't want them donations to stop coming in. True that. Screw that. Y'all know I don't care. If everybody jumped up who pays ABT or pay me or donate, whatever phrase you want to use, if they jumped up after this room today and be like, well, man, we ain't donating. We ain't getting you no more money. We don't like this message. Y'all think I'm going to change it up? I'm petty. I'm a double down. I'll come back the next week and add even more to it and then tell you to keep your money. I do not care. I'm not going to the lake of fire for nobody. And you shouldn't either. A lot of these cats dragging y'all straight to the lake of fire. And y'all letting them. I'm trying to save you from you. The disciples knew. That's what the instructions he gave them. If you disobey that gospel, you go into the lake of fire. What's the purpose of trying to save Sodom and Gomorrah if you're going to burn with them? That's crazy. Either just let me burn with them, because I'm going to burn anyway, or give me the option of getting away. But I don't want to preach to them and burn with them. That's stupid.
Right.
But that's what a lot of y'all doing. You preaching to them and you're going to burn with them, because you don't know how to take off the dust of your feet. If I'm going to burn with them, I don't want to preach to them. And if I'm going to preach to them, I don't want to burn with them. You feel me? That doesn't make any sense, right? But look what it says. Read the next verse. Watch what it says they did. Read the next one.
And they departed and went through the town preaching the gospel and healing everywhere.
Notice in Mark, it just said they were preaching repent. But in Luke, it lets you know they were preaching the gospel. So this is the rule of the gospel, y'all. This is a rule, shaking the dust off your feet when you have determined that people are not going to change their view. That is a rule. That is a commandment. It's not advice. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. It's a rule of the gospel. Disobey it if you want to. See what's going to happen to you. That's why he told them that. He didn't tell them, keep on arguing to the people for years. I got brothers on this Clubhouse app who've been knowing me online only, going back 12, 13 years, still trying to hunt me down to argue with me some more. Still looking for me. Still put my name in the title of stuff. 13 years we going on. Why haven't they shaken the dust off their feet concerning me? Clearly, he don't want to hear what they got to say. He's not interested. Why can't they shake the dust off their feet concerning me? People do the same thing on Clubhouse. New people. Coming out home. We going back and forth. He clearly don't want to hear it. They make a room. Okay, that's supposed to be the end of it. You don't say what you have to say. They come back in. Try to argue with you some more. Make more room. Go in other people's rooms talking about you. Join in with them. And they all swear they're just going to walk into the kingdom.
No. Y'all don't know how to leave stuff alone. Y'all don't know how to let stuff go. That's all Jesus is telling you to do. They don't want to hear it. Leave it alone. Go talk to somebody else. Don't stand there and not argue with them. Leave. Don't be an audience to them. Don't be in the room with them. Don't be in the house with them. Leave. That's why he said, when you leave that city, keep it moving. Y'all don't know how to keep it moving. Now I got to show y'all that you're down. That's what it's going to take. God's got to say, show you that you're down because you don't want to stop. Maybe that'll scare you straight. And y'all know what y'all reading. You can't be like, well, I don't really agree with that. No, we're going to see it. Make any excuses you want to keep avoiding shaking off the dust of your feet. I'm not going to keep telling you because if I keep trying to tell you, then now I'm violating. You feel it? So once you know it, that's on you. Well, let's move on. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. See, in Mark 6 and Luke 9, we saw how he did it with the first 12. Now let's see what he's going to do with the 70. Because he did this more than once. He gave this rule more than once. He's emphasizing something. This is technically the second time. We read the same thing twice in Mark and Luke. So that's one time. This is the second time we're reading it, right? Because it's dealing with the 70. So this is Luke chapter 10, still in the book of Luke, verse 1, and then we're going to skip. Read that, please, Kevin.
After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place. Whether he himself would come.
So he's setting them up the same way he set the disciples up, and he's sending them two and two. You can read all this on your own time and see the same instructions that he basically gave them. But skip down and read verses 10 to 12 and watch what he says.
But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same. And say,
but into whatsoever city ye enter and they receive you not, meaning they ain't trying to hear what you're teaching, bro. They ain't trying to hear your argument. Nothing. It says, go your ways out into the streets of the same and say, he even told them to say this. That's crazy when you think about it. He told them to actually say this. Go ahead and read.
11. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you.
Look what he said. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe out against you as a testimony against you. You know, that's us saying that we did our job. We tried to warn you, right? We do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God has come near unto you. In other words, we preach the kingdom of God, and it's near at hand. We preach the gospel, because that's what the gospel is. But look what else it said. Verse 10, but into whatever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways. What do go your ways mean, Kevin?
Go about your way. Get up out of there.
Go about your way. Get up out of there. Leave. Yeah. Every time we read this, they leave.
Yeah.
Why can't you leave? Because you don't want to obey the gospel. Leave. Y'all can't leave. Y'all telling me you're done, but I go in the court of our way. It's salvation just for Israel. I look on and say, see the same people. Some of our people. You know who you are. I ain't got to put you out there. Oh, I'm just an audience. Why are you even there? Why haven't you gone your way? The disciples didn't even stick around and hear other people argue about stuff. They left. That's the rule of the gospel. Why are you sitting there listening to somebody argue about something you claim you're done with? You could be in another room trying to preach the gospel to people who ain't ever heard it. I work in construction. I do electrical work. I've been placed over people doing their job. When they finish one project, what do you tell them to do, Kevin, if they finish one project?
Don't Go to the next one.
Go to the next one. What y'all do, y'all finish with the project of trying to deal with the people. Okay, I'm done. He don't want to hear. But you're just sitting there. Go and find somebody else. Move to the next project. You're done here. Y'all just sitting there. Hours. They could be in another room. You could be trying to reason with somebody who ain't ever heard you. But y'all get comfortable with arguing and dealing with the same people like it's some kind of abusive relationship that you can't get out of. You can't sever ties with people. You got attachment issues. The same people all the time. I recognize the names because they follow me and I follow them. Leave. How long am I supposed to sit in a room and listen to faithful to God argue about what's wrong with the Hebrew Israelites? I know his whole dialogue. His whole act, if that's what you want to call it. I've heard it. Why would I be sitting in there listening to that? Especially if I don't agree. People been arguing against the Hebrew Israelites for years. They don't want to hear him. Now, I don't know if he go in other people's rooms. I don't know about that. But if he did, he need to learn to take off the dust of his feet. I don't know if he actually does it. But you don't want to be sitting there eating. You're supposed to leave. Move on. One thing I discovered about Clubhouse, and this was amazing to me, I don't know if y'all discovered this either, but when you just keep scrolling, you see other religious-based rooms with interesting topics that some of us ain't ever even talked about. Why don't you go on one of them rooms? Try to meet some new people. Try to you know, do some networking. Try to get some new people. I love LaRon Campbell and Bleedo, like brothers. I really do. I have no ill will against them. I don't. But I am done with them. It's just the way it is. I know how to sever ties. Y'all get emotionally connected to these people. Y'all think emotionally connected means you love them. No. You could be emotionally connected to somebody through hate. Y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
That's not the only, love is not the only emotional connection. You can hate somebody and be attached to them through that hate. You are supposed to leave and let them know when you leave. I've done my job. It's not on me anymore. I'm sure that Paul even said that. It's not on me anymore. It's on you. And as long as they're talking about the same old, you don't be up in there. And they always talking about the same old. So I should never see you in there. I should never see you in there. But I go in the clubhouse, Kevin. I go in the hallways and I see it's salvation just for the Gentiles. Or it's only for Israel, right? I can't even tell you how long we've debated this. Just on Clubhouse alone. This is on Clubhouse. I ain't even taking it to other platforms. Just on Clubhouse, I couldn't tell you how many times this has been debated. And I look on the stage, and I see the same people. You are an unprofitable servant. You need to be out somewhere else trying to win over, trying to be a fisherman of people. You sit in the middle of a lake and you ain't caught a fish all day, but you refuse to move. Move. Go to another lake or another part of the lake. Y'all just sit in the lake. See, ain't nobody, the fish are on by the day, but hey, I'm not moving. Jesus had a keep it moving mentality, and they get mad at me, and they wonder why I got to keep it moving mentality, Kevin. People get on this stage, they ain't trying to hear the truth. I give them an opportunity. I ask them real questions. They don't be set up questions. They be real legitimate questions. I see them trying to run game on me. I kick them off the stage. I got to keep it moving because every second I waste on a person who don't want to hear it is time I could have spent trying to teach somebody who's actually curious about this word. Y'all are cheating a lot of people who really want to hear this out of the time that they deserve. That's why when I did that class about when does the day begin, and I saw Bleedo come on the stage, I didn't immediately kick him out. I let him sit on the stage until it was getting close to him coming up in the queue, and then I kicked him out. I did that on purpose.
Y'all know why? Because I'm trying to teach Bleedo that done means done. I wanted him to get his hopes up and think, oh, here we go again. Josh and Bleedo part two. Here we go again. Let's crank this thing back up, just like we did back in the day. I let it get all the way to him, and then I kicked him out. And I think the other brother, KB, came on the stage and said, Bleedo reached out to him and asked him what happened. I told KB the same thing. I don't hide what I do. I'm done. When I say I'm done, I am done. I have shaken off the dust of my feet, bro. Still love you. Still got your back if you need my help. Anyone in the world can reach out to me right now in all sincerity and seriousness and be like, Brother Josh, can you throw your boy something? I mean, I need some money for groceries or whatever. I would send it to him if I got it. I don't hate these people. But I'm not going to keep trying to debate you and argue with you about something that you don't want to hear. You've already told me that. Because now I'm disobeying the gospel. Everything I do, I can back it up in this book. I don't just do things. I'm not like the Joker. Well, at least when it comes to the Bible, because outside of the word, that's a whole different story. I just do things. But other than that, when it comes to the word, I'm not like the joke, right? But y'all see what he said, right? Now read the very next verse, and he's going to say the same thing that he said about Sodom and Gomorrah. Read that. Verse 12.
But I say unto you, this shall be more tolerable in that day of Sodom. Therefore, that's it.
See, y'all have to understand that when people don't hear what you're teaching and you're teaching the truth of this gospel and you depart after you shake off the dust of your feet, Jesus has already told you that it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for those people who didn't want to hear your message. That's scary. But what's even scarier is knowing that you're going to be among them when God show more tolerance for Sodom and Gomorrah than he did for them. I don't want to preach to y'all and then be destroyed with y'all. That is stupid. That's why you shake off the dust of your feet. That's another reason why, because you don't want to be nowhere near the destruction. You feel me?
All right. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here, bro. This whole place about to get nuked. You feel me? I'm out of here. Y'all stay right around. God said he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you pull up a chair and sit with your arms folded. I ain't telling y'all nothing else. I'm just letting you know. But dude, you just said this whole place is going to get destroyed, right? Yeah. Then don't you think you should get the hell out of here? No. I'm sitting right here. No. Leave. Depart. That's what you're supposed to do. But let's move on, man. I try to make it plain for him, Kevin. I try to make it plain, bro. I really do.
Plain indeed.
I try to make it plain, man. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. I'm trying to save you from you. That's right, Charles Goodlow. And don't look back either. That's another thing, too. I did a whole class on that about just not looking back. I'm trying to tell y'all, man. Y'all gonna let these apps get y'all in trouble. There are rules to this thing. I can always tell who the people who don't know how to shake off the dust of their feet. It's the same old arguments. Same old arguments. Same people. It's not even different people. It's the same people keep popping up. How many times are you going to open up a room talking about when does the day begin?
Oh, Lord.
And only have the same six people showing up. Let it go. Okay, you don't say what you believe. Nobody's, and that's another sign. When nobody's really even showing up, that's the clearest sign of all that ain't nobody trying to hear it. They ain't even showing up. It's time to move on. If not physically, then, you know, metaphorically, like move on to another topic. Right? We don't know how to let stuff go. Right? We got pride. Well, if I start arguing about it, they're going to think that my silence is a confession that they're right. No, it's not. That just means I'm tired of arguing with your dumb behind. That's all that means.
I can't count how many times I tell people I want to argue with you about it. He's scared. He's scared. Yeah, I am scared. I tell everybody, dude, I'm scared of all of these guys on Clubhouse. Every last one of them. I tell all of y'all right now, Brother Josh is terrified of them. Terrified that if I keep dealing with them, I'm going to damn myself. I am afraid of y'all because y'all on a one-way track to hell, and y'all trying to take as many people as y'all can. And if any of y'all are fans of zombie movies, I recently started watching Black Summer, by the way. That thing is a trip, by the way, y'all. Right? Because them darn zombies be chasing the heck out of people. I mean, bruh, if you got asthma, you getting caught. I'm just letting you know right now. And they change real fast, too. Like, if you get bit, Kevin J, 2 minutes later, you won.
Oh, wow.
And they don't even try to, like, eat you up, like, you know, on The Walking Dead. They bite you, and they're saying, no, you up, and you chasing everybody else with them. And they run. I mean, wow, do they run. But I'm telling y'all that, like, I'm afraid of these people, like, in Black Summer. It's like, on every corner, you see one of them things, you running like crazy because they're trying to get you. That's how I feel about people on Clubhouse. They're trying to get me, like, take me to hell. So, yes, I'm afraid of y'all. I'm not trying to let y'all cost me my salvation. You're not worth it. And they'll tell you you're scared of them after you've already defeated them. That's crazy. Oh, he's scared. Scared of what? Running it back? Fighting you again? I ain't never heard such absurdity in my life, Kevin. You fight somebody and you beat them down. But because they want a rematch, you don't want to get one, you scared. No. If I was scared, I would have fought you in the first place.
Right.
People say anything. You scared? Ain't nobody scared of you. Not in that sense. I'm scared if I keep dealing with you, my God going to send me to hell. I'm scared of my God. I'm not scared of you. I fear God, not you. A lot of y'all fear what men think about you more than what your God thinks about you. I don't care if any of these clowns on Clubhouse think I'm afraid of them. First of all, everybody know that Josh is a lion anyway. They know I ain't afraid of them. Y'all don't see me put my enemies to silence time and time again. So it's amazing to me that people even try to play the he's scared card. That's crazy that anybody who knows me and seen what I've done would even try to play that card with me. Y'all need to come up with a new tactic. Ain't nobody believing Josh scared. Not anybody who know me. Ain't nobody believing that. And that's another thing for the rest of y'all. If people have seen you in action, like Dre and Trilla, I've seen these brothers in action. You feel me? I've seen them in action. They are not afraid of anybody. If they don't want to deal with you, it's because they think you're stupid. Or they think that they've done all they could do. So don't even try to put the little he's scared card. No, we just shaking off the dust of our feet. Right? So this is Acts 13. This is Paul and his companion. Y'all have read this before, but we're going to add something in that we didn't deal with the last time we read it. This is Acts 13, 42-52. This is after Paul was given the opportunity to speak in the synagogue about Jesus being the foretold Messiah in prophecy. Now watch what he tells them. This is Acts 13, 42-52. Read that, please.
And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath.
So the Jews and the Gentiles, non-Hebrews, were keeping the Sabbath. These Gentiles were proselytes. They're converts. A proselyte is a non-Hebrew convert to the Hebrew faith. So that means these Gentiles were keeping the Sabbath day and the dietary law and all that other good stuff. Right? But go ahead and read.
43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God.
See, Paul and Barnabas were so interesting in what they were bringing. It said the next Sabbath day, the next week, almost the whole city came to hear the word of God. And they were teaching the gospel. This is what word of God means right here, the gospel, because they're teaching Jesus Christ, right? So they're preaching the gospel. Go ahead and read.
45. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contrary contradicting and blaspheming.
And this is what y'all have to learn as teachers and preachers of the word. A lot of people don't disagree with you because they actually think you're wrong. A lot of people just disagree with you because they're jealous of the attention you're getting. Notice that when the Jews saw the multitudes, I mean, they saw the crowd. They saw the number of people in your clubhouse room. Right? Jealousy is something else. I just wanted to throw that out there so y'all can see. Don't think that everybody who y'all are arguing with and been arguing with disagree with you in principle. They disagree with you because they're jealous of you. Jealousy produces a disagreeable spirit. That's what it does by nature. It makes somebody against you. That's what it does. But continue reading.
46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But see, ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. No, ye turn to the Gentiles.
So Paul is saying the word of God was supposed to be preached to you first, Israel. But since you judge yourselves worthy of everlasting life and put it away from you, in other words, you don't want to hear it, lo, which means look, we turn to the Gentiles. In other words, we're moving on.
Right.
We're keeping it moving. And the only people a lot of y'all are arguing with on this app are Israelites. When you going to tell them, lo, we turn to the Gentiles? I'm not saying you have to specifically say that, but in another way of saying it is, look, we can talk to somebody else. See, y'all don't want to do that. Y'all want to keep trying to bring the gospel to people who put it away from them. And then when you're done doing that, you don't want to move on. You just want to sit and listen to other people try to present the gospel to the same people who put it away from them when you try to present it to them. What kind of sense does that make? Don't just stop arguing with them. Stop coming in their rooms if they're arguing about the same controversial stuff that they didn't want to hear when you brought it to them. You got a job to do. You finish that project. Move on. Talk to somebody else. And if there's nobody else to talk to, go find something else to do. Watch a movie. Read a book. Go ride your bike. Go jogging. Anything but dealing with the same people who don't want to hear it or being an audience to them while they reject it from somebody other than you. You're supposed to keep it moving. That's what I do to people. I tell them to keep it moving. You don't want to hear this? Okay, keep it moving. Get off my stage. You really be rude? Get out my room. I operate like them. If y'all were back with Paul and Barnabas, a lot of y'all would have got left behind. They would have kept, hey, come on, Kevin J, man, we done, man. They don't want to hear that. Nah, I think I'm going to stay in Key Arkansas. Suit yourself. They would have left you right there. But watch what else it says. Keep reading.
And so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life,
mm-hmm.
And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast.
So eventually the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, you know, like people with positions, high positions, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. In other words, they turned the whole city against them pretty much, right?
Right.
And expelled them out of their coast. In other words, they kicked them out. Some of y'all have been kicked out of rooms and come right back. You know I ain't lying, Kevin J.
Right.
Let's see what Paul and Barnabas did. Go ahead and read.
But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium.
Wait a minute. Was Paul and Barnabas one of the original 12, Kevin? Were they one of the 72 that Jesus sent out? I mean, the 70, the 17
no.
That Jesus sent out? two by two?
No.
So why are they doing the same thing that Jesus instructed the 12 and the 70 to do? Because they knew
that was
the rule of the gospel. That's a law.
Precept.
That's a precept. So why aren't y'all doing it? Once they realize, yo, they don't want to hear this, we out. They leave. But instead, they shook off the dust of their feet against them. Exactly what Jesus commanded the original 12 and the 70 after them to do. If it made it all the way to Paul and Barnabas, that means that was a commandment of the gospel. Why don't y'all shake off the dust of y'all feet? Same people y'all arguing with. Same names. Same rules. Same controversy. You right in there with them. You are breaking the rules of the gospel. You will be sent to hell if you don't stop and repent. You're not obeying the gospel. Paul and Barnabas, they obeyed the gospel. And instead they tried to keep arguing with these people. Y'all need to do the same thing. Y'all are unprofitable servants. You want to keep doing the same thing with the same people. There are literally billions of people who haven't heard what we teach. Billions. Hundreds of thousands on Clubhouse alone. And y'all want to keep going to the same rooms, arguing with the same people. You want to keep messing with that same original project that you started on. God got 100 projects for you. You still stuck on the first one. What would you do if you worked in a job and you gave somebody 10 projects to finish for the day? You come back 8 hours later, they still on the original project and ain't even done with it. What are you going to do? You're going to fire them. Dude, I gave you 10 projects and you still on that first one? Is it too hard for you? You know, I'm trying to be reasonable. Is it too hard for you? Did you not understand? No, I understood. Then what you still on it for then? No, I just want to keep dealing with it. You fired. Let me get somebody here who's going to actually finish stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I want y'all to understand that. We got to be better than this, man. Because y'all going to hell if you don't stop this madness. This is not a suggestion. This is not Josh suggesting y'all for the sake of your health or your sanity to stop. This is Jesus saying you are not allowed. Learn to obey the gospel. Let's move on. We saw what they did. Paul said he shook out the dust of their feet against them. That's gospel, right? Now we're going right over to Acts chapter 14, read 1 and 2. Let's see what else happened. Well, read verse 52. And then go on over into the next chapter.
Okay, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost.
See, they were filled with joy. In other words, you know, they rejoiced. Just like Peter said, if somebody suffers as a Christian, you know what I'm saying, be happy, right? But it says, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. So they're in another city, right? Now go right over to chapter 14 and read verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to skip. Read that.
And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake. But a great multitude both of the Jews and also of the Greeks believed.
So, you know, you got a lot of people from among the Jews and the Greeks believing. The Jews and the non-Jews, the Gentiles. Go ahead and read.
2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren.
See, haters were around even back then, y'all.
Right.
Because it said that they were believing, and it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Y'all see how people can influence the way you think? In other words, this is saying they made them think evil of them. There's another reason why you should separate yourself from certain people. Right? But watch what it says. Skip down and read verses 6 and 7.
Acts chapter 14, verse 6. They were aware of it, and fled us to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth around about.
Because see, what happened is after they stirred up these Gentiles and made their minds evil effect against the brethren, the brethren, you know, Paul and his companions, they got word that these people were going to try to kill them, right? So they fled when they became aware of it unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Continue. And what did they do?
And there they preached the gospel.
And there they preached the gospel. So I just took y'all in so y'all can see that sometimes when you can see that there's a lot of animosity towards you in a room or in real life, you got to flee. But it's telling you what they were doing. They were preaching the gospel. That's what they were doing in 13. That's what they were doing in 14, right? So they shook the dust off their feet. They kept it moving. They went to Iconium. When it got too hot there, time to move on. So y'all got to keep it moving. Y'all don't know how to keep moving. Y'all setting up camp in places. That's what y'all are doing. Y'all don't know how to shake the dust off y'all feet. Y'all ain't keeping it moving. Paul and Barnabas, they were nomads. You feel me? They were pilgrims. They kept it moving. Y'all be setting up shop. Shoot, some of y'all mail that y'all get probably is addressed to a certain clubhouse room. That's all y'all be up and y'all live there. They had a keep it moving mentality. Just what Jesus told them to do. We got work to do. You're supposed to be setting up shop. You're supposed to teach. If they're hearing it, teach them everything that you can. Keep it moving. But the moment they show you they don't want to hear it, keep it moving. Go. We out of here. You don't stay. You don't sit there and listen to them argue with somebody else. You move. A lot of y'all are not doing your job. You're just sitting on your behind being entertained. You got work to do if you're, you know, claiming that, you know, you're taking on like an active role of trying to teach and convert people. This ain't talking to everybody because everybody ain't meant to do that. But if you're jumping on clubhouse and you call yourself going back and forth with people, then you are taking upon that role. And as such, you got to follow the rules that come with that role. But y'all don't want to do that. Y'all want to go and set up shop in the same room with the same people arguing about the same thing. You already know what that brother believed, man. What are you doing? Why are you talking to them? Why are you in the room with them? Make people chase you. See, Paul and Barnabas, let me tell y'all something. Let me just divert just a little bit, Kevin. Can I divert a little bit? Just a little bit.
Go ahead, sir.
Right. Paul and Barnabas' keep it moving game was so strong, y'all, that their enemy started chasing them.
Oh, man.
I'm going to show y'all that. See, that's how you know you're doing it right, when they start chasing you. And, yes, I have been pursued.
Mm-hmm.
See, they ain't got to chase a lot of y'all because y'all go running to them. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to show y'all? See, I didn't even have that in the last step. I said, can I divert a little bit? I'm going to throw this in here so y'all can see that their keep it moving game was so strong that their enemies who didn't want to hear what they were saying in the first place said, man, we got to chase these dudes down and start hating on them wherever they go. See, when that happens, you know, boy, your dust on your feet, you ain't got no dust on your feet. You've been shaking it so much. That's how you're supposed to be. They're supposed to come to you. See, that's why LaRon and Bleedo got to come up in here if they want to see me, because they know I'm not coming to them and all the rest of them. They know that. I love those brothers, but they know Josh ain't going to come up in our room. He done with us. They pretty much know that, too. I mean, it ain't no bad feeling, but, I mean, these brothers not stupid. They know if Josh wanted to get at them, he'd be all in their room arguing with them. They know that. That's how your enemy's supposed to be seeing you when it comes to this gospel. Like, you know, Dre and Trilla, you know, we got to come find out where they are. We got to go chase them down because they don't come in our rooms no more dealing with us. That's how you know you're doing it right, when the people you're done with start chasing you, because they know you're not going to deal with them anymore. They don't want to be done. You done. Y'all ever dealt with an ex before who you said it was over, but they didn't want to accept it? What did they do, Kevin?
They kept it moving.
I mean, what does an ex do to you if you're done with them, but they don't want to let it go? What that ex going to do? Crazy ex, I should say.
Oh, you just
hey,
I ain't never really dealt with no crazy ex.
They going to do what, Stephanie?
A protective order.
No, that's what you do if they don't leave you alone.
They keep coming back.
They keep pursuing you. They chase you. Well, you ain't got to have dealt with one to know that that's what a crazy ex do, a stalker. Stephanie gave the next step. She said, get that, protect that restraining order.
Right.
She's gone straight to the solution. she's solution oriented. I tried to walk y'all through that stuff, just cut straight to the chase, man. Go ahead and get that protective order and keep it moving. But that's what they'll do. Exactly. But that's what they'll do. When you're done, but they can't accept it, they start chasing you. And this is what they did to Paul. Now let me show y'all this. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 to 4.
This is Acts chapter 17, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There were the synagogue of the Jews.
This is about Paul and his companions. So Paul did most of his preaching, arguing, disputing, discussions, whatever you want to call it, in the synagogue. Go ahead and read.
2. And Paul, as it matter was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures.
So 3 Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. We don't know if that meant just on 3 Sabbaths or for 21 days. We don't know, because the synagogues wasn't just open on the Sabbath day, right? So we don't know. But the point is, we know he put in enough time, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read.
3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I present to you, is Christ.
So if he's teaching about Jesus being the prophesied Messiah, that he rose from the dead, that he's the way to salvation, he's preaching the gospel. That's all he's doing. He's preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what it says happen. Go ahead and read.
4. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks and great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few.
Now it says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greek, a great multitude, and of chief women, not a few. So that means a lot of people, you know, believe the gospel, right? Did I tell you to read verse 5?
Not yet.
Right, okay, read verse 5.
For the Jews, which believe not, moved with envy, took unto them certain new fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the temple.
Right. So they're doing this to try to get to Paul and his companions. You know, again, you go to envy, you go to jealousy, right? Now, these people want to hear, but some people didn't want to hear, right? So Paul, like I told you, Paul and his companions, their keep it moving game was strong. Skip down and read verses 10 to 14 and watch what it says.
Verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And these were more noble than those of Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so.
So the people of Berea was more noble than the people of Thessalonica. They received the word with more readiness of mind. They were more ready to hear. And they were fact-checking Paul and his companions. That's why I said they searched the Scriptures
daily, rid of those things with both. So Paul would say this is what it says about the Messiah in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah or in Jeremiah, and they would go behind him. Yeah, it does say that. Right?
Right.
But they done with the Thessalonians, right? They don't shook off the dust of their feet because, you know, after they got kicked out in Acts 13, it said they shook off the dust of their feet against those people and went to Iconium. So, you know, even though it's not written here, you know they had to do the same thing. That's what they do. When you don't want to receive it, we shake off the dust of our feet, right? So they done with the Thessalonians. But their keeping moving game was so strong, Kev. Read the next verse.
Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were the Greeks, and of men, and not a few.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people.
It said, but when the Jews of Thessalonica, the ones who didn't want to hear it, the ones who Paul and his companions shook off the dust of their feet again. Okay, we know what you do. You don't want to hear it. What did the people of Thessalonica do? They came there. They followed Paul and his companions to Berea and stirred up the people.
They ain't traveled, boy.
They traveled. In other words, they came to you. See, that's how you know that you're shaking the dust off your feet game is strong. When you're so done with somebody, they know the only way I even get a chance of talking to this dude again, I got to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how you're supposed to be. When they start chasing you around, they can't keep their name, your name out of their mouth. That's how you know you're doing your job. Even, you know, you ain't saying none of them about them, public or private. But they can't keep their name, your name, out of their mouth. They're always trying to follow you into a room wherever you are to try to argue with you and turn people against you. This is one sign. It's not the only sign, but this is a definite sign that you're doing it right. They're hearing about what you're doing in other rooms. They want to come there and they want to try to stir the people up and turn them against you by arguing with you even more. So let's see what Paul and them did after that. Go ahead and read.
This is going to be 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still.
So it said they immediately sent Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Because they were trying to leave to, you know, preserve, you know, their life and all that stuff. And these other guys stayed there. But it don't say that they stayed there teaching the people. But I'm just showing y'all that this is what they do. If you shake off the dust of your feet against them and you're done with them, sometimes they'll pursue you. They'll come in your room. They'll post on your channel. They'll post on your Facebook news feed. They'll DM you out of nowhere. We don't supposed to be like that. We are commanded to shake off the dust of our feet if they don't want to hear it. Paul and Barnabas were not among the original 12 or the 70 that Jesus sent out afterwards with those specific instructions. So why are they operating just like that? Because they knew that's a rule of the gospel. That was not just for the 12 or those 70. That was a rule. That's why they're operating like that. And if we say we obey the gospel, that's how we're supposed to be operating. So why are we not? Why are we setting up shop? Why are we getting comfortable with the same people? Arguing. I ain't saying teaching. I'm talking about arguing. Why are we getting comfortable? How many times am I supposed to debate, do the Gentiles get salvation too? How many times am I supposed to debate that crap? Why do they want to keep debating it? They're not bringing anything new. Even when I debate the same thing, I bring new material. They're not bringing anything new. How many times are we supposed to debate the virgin birth? How many times are we supposed to debate that we still supposed to be keeping the law? With the same people now. I'm talking about with the same people. I ain't saying in general. With the same people.
Why do the same people keep jumping up? I want to debate Drake on this. I want to debate Trilla on that. I want to debate Josh on this. I want to debate Kevin J on that. It's the same people. It's not the topic so much as the people I'm tired of debating. It's the same people. You don't want to hear it. Keep it moving. I want to talk to somebody else. Paul and them wasn't changing their doctrine. They were changing their audience.
Right.
Y'all don't want to change the audience. Y'all like being booed. Who wants to go Apollo Elmer tonight and get booed every night? Y'all know, you know when they boo you, that mean they don't like what you're doing, right? Y'all like a booing audience? Sandman dragging you off the stage every night and you just keep coming back. Ain't even changing your act. Y'all like getting booed. Sometimes it's not, and I'm telling y'all, any stand-up, professional stand-up comedian will tell you this, and I know this because I almost consider being a stand-up comedian, right? So I've been researching, you know, look at people's material. Any stand-up comedian who's been doing it for a while will tell you it's not just your material that determines if you're going to be successful or not. It's also your audience. There are certain jokes that you can't tell in certain cities and get the same response that you would in, say, your hometown. You will get booed off the stage. Dave Chappelle even said it recently, about a couple of years ago. 2 years ago, Dave Chappelle was considered one of the GOATs. And about 2 years ago, in one of his stand-up on Netflix, he said he got booed out of a bar. A lot of y'all can't even imagine Dave Chappelle getting booed this late in his career. It was the audience. But y'all just want to deal with an audience that you already know going in. Same audience. It's not even people with the same mindset as the audience you dealt with. It's the exact same people, and y'all want to keep performing for them and getting booed. That is crazy. Change your audience. Don't change the doctrine. Change your audience. All of them didn't stop teaching that Jesus is the Messiah. They just took that information and presented it to a new audience. That's how you shake the dust off your feet. I'm tired of talking to y'all. Y'all don't want to hear it. Oh, he Drake thinks he better than us. Trilla thinks he too good. No, bro, I love y'all. I really do. But there are billions of people out here who haven't heard this message that I'm trying to bring. I want to try to bring it to them. And not only are we learning that, Kevin J, we're also learning that by them keeping it moving, they are being more successful because it tells you every time they move, more people embrace them until the haters start moving in.
Right.
I often wonder if y'all really want to put this work in like that. I will make you fishermen or fishers of men. I'm going to show you how to catch people. That's what Jesus told his early disciples. And then he gave them instructions on how to do it. Y'all walking around telling Jesus how to fish. Now, this how you fish. This how I'm going to do it. He didn't go to his disciples, Kevin, and say, I want y'all to show me how to fish. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. In other words, I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to teach you how to do it. But a lot of y'all don't want to learn the lesson. If you're fishing and you go somewhere where they're not biting, they're not catching any fish, any fisher. I've never fished a day in my life. But even I know that if I'm sitting somewhere for hours and the fish not biting, it's time to move the boat. I mean, have anybody else on this stage got any fishing experience? Can they agree with me on that? I mean, I don't know. You follow what I'm saying? In the audience, maybe we got some people in the audience who fish. Y'all can let me know in the chat room.
I had a phone call. What you
see? I said, I've never fished a day in my life, Trilla, but I think any fisherman will tell you that if you're somewhere fishing and the fish ain't biting, it's time to move the boat.
I got to agree. We'll catch you down on the other side of it.
Right, but you've already tried it, obviously, if you've been sitting there in that spot the whole time. It's time to move. They're not biting. Don't waste all your time in one spot on one person. Keep it moving. I told you I had to do telemarketing. My supervisor would tell me all the time, Don't waste all your time on one caller who is reluctant. They don't want to get it. They're saying, no, no, no. Okay, you have a nice day, sir or ma'am, and you call and you make the next call. Y'all got to understand that is the mentality of a disciple of Jesus. Keep it moving. Stop wasting time on people who don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Even if you're on Clubhouse, this can be a little tricky. You might be in a room with somebody who you've been arguing with. They don't want to hear it. But there are other people in the room who's new, and they might want to hear it. You don't have to leave the room in a situation like that. Just don't talk to the other person who you already don't determine don't want to hear it. That's what Panah tried to do to me. When I'm trying to set something up with Corey Brewer, he on a, Josh, I shot him down. Y'all know I tell y'all. I lead by example. I don't tell y'all stuff, and then I don't do it myself. I'm like, I think I'll debate you, Josh. I'll debate you. Panah, I ain't studying you, bro. I just dismissed him. I ain't studying you, dude. I've already shaking off the dust of my feet concerning you. That's how you're supposed to be. Because they want to keep going back and forth with you. No, I'm done. I'm here to talk to Corey Brewer. I'm not here to talk to you. So even if it's somebody in the same room that you dealt with before, but it's different people you're trying to reach, when they come for you, you just dismiss them. I saw Captain Tazari out do that with that Catherine woman. Y'all remember that whole debacle popped off? But one thing I saw Tazari out do, and I got to give him his props, when she kept trying to talk to him, he made it known. I have nothing to say to you. Leave me alone. He was in the same room with somebody he don't dealt with before. I didn't even know he had dealt with him before on more than one occasion. He told me that, and other people told me that too. But one thing he did exercise right, at least in that situation, was he told her plainly, and he wasn't disrespectful. He said, I'm done talking to you. Don't say anything to me. She kept trying to come for him. He said, what you supposed to do? You're done with that individual. Not with everybody in the room, just that individual. Well, I got something I want to ask you, Josh. Who is that? Oh, this Bleedo. Bleedo, what is it about? It's about when the day begins. No, Bleedo, I'm not talking about that with you no more, man. I'm done. Have you changed your view on it? Did you still believe the way you believe? Yeah. Well, I still believe the way I believe, so, you know, go on somewhere. I've shaken off the dust of my feet on that. See, that's how y'all supposed to be. They can get mad. They call you scared. No, dude, it's just like, come on, man. You got to be in the Word. You can be an atheist and understand that it's pointless to keep arguing with the same person over and over, and neither one of y'all have changed your views. You don't really got to be deep in the spirit to understand that. To me, that's one of the most basic instructions Jesus gave concerning the gospel. To me, that was an act of mercy. I would have been pissed if Jesus was like, nah, keep on talking to him. I'm glad that's there. I keep telling y'all I'm slick lazy. Shoot, say less. I would have been there with Jesus. Kev, I would have been there with him 70, right? And you know he sent them out through it too, so it would have been me and Kevin J, right? When he would have got to the part about if they don't want to hear it, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony to get them, I'm like, say less. Y'all know me. Shoot, say less. Come on. I like, Kevin, let's go. You follow what I'm saying? Y'all ain't got to tell me twice. I'd be ready to dismiss these clowns. You know, there's people that don't want to hear it. I'm glad he put that in there. Some of y'all like twerking yourselves, banging y'all head against the brick wall, trying to win over people who don't even want to hear it. What is wrong with y'all? Something is wrong with you. You might have a little mental illness going on there. I love my Lord and Savior for putting that in there as a clause. You know, he didn't always do that with the prophets. He told Ezekiel, whether they hear or whether they forbear, go teach them. You mean somebody got to teach even though they don't want to hear it? See, the prophet didn't always have it that easy. That's merciful to me. Thank you. I thank God for that. You mean I ain't got to keep talking to them? God, just kick them out the room? Do they want to hear it? No. Kick them out. Yes, Father. You feel me? Let's keep it moving. Let's go to Acts chapter 18. We're going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip.
Okay, just Acts chapter 18, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth.
Just letting y'all know that you're dealing with Paul and his companions once again. Skip down and read verses 4 to 6. Watch what happens.
Verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks.
Sound like he's doing the same thing. Notice he's doing the same thing, just changing his audience. Same doctrine, changing the audience. Keep it moving. That's the mentality. Keep it moving, y'all. Stop setting up shop. Y'all camping. Stop camping. No, they don't want to hear it. Keep it moving. Time to pack up the tent. Get the nails out. We out of here. They don't want to hear it. That's a lazy servant who sets up camp. You're unprofitable. Go ahead and read.
5. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ.
So in other words, he's preaching the gospel. That's all that means, y'all. He's preaching the gospel. Right? Go ahead and read.
6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles.
It said he shook his raiment. Why would he? What was he shaking off his raiment?
He was shaking that dust off.
See, this is Paul. Be honest. Y'all don't talk like this on Clubhouse. Y'all ain't shook y'all raiment. Metaphorically or otherwise, y'all ain't. Y'all feel they're ordering in Corinth. Y'all feel in Corinth. I'm shaking the dust off. And look what else he told them. He said, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. In other words, your blood is on you. I'm going to show you what Paul was drawing from when he said that, because that's prophet terminology. That's what that is, right? And then he said, I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. In other words, I'm going to keep it moving and find somebody else to talk to. What is wrong with y'all? Why don't y'all know how to just move on? Why y'all get stuck talking to the same people who don't want to hear it? Because ain't nobody teaching you that that's a commandment. So now you know it's a commandment. Keep doing it now. Watch the curses start coming on your family, in your household. You ain't got to just go to hell for God to punish you. He'll start doing stuff to you right now in this life if you are openly and knowingly going against the gospel. They don't want to hear it. Shake that raiment and keep it moving. Or stay and keep disobeying the gospel and watch what happens to you. Keep being an audience to their rejection of the gospel. All these rooms on Clubhouse, new rooms. Go in there. See if you can build a rapport with them. I remember months ago, even Nautica told me she's been trying to do that. Nautica don't went to, she telling me about some club. I'm like, who is that? It's like, just some room I saw in the hallway. You know, I want to check them out. And she did it, and she'll tell herself months ago, this was about 6-7 months ago, and she did it because she was tired of all the drama that she see going on in these same rooms over and over again. She went out trying to find somewhere else. Trying to network over there, trying to find some more believers and stuff like that. That's what we're supposed to be doing if we're on Clubhouse like that. Not opening up the same rooms with the same controversial titles, hoping to suck in, because that's why you do it. I talk to y'all. I don't talk at y'all. That's why you do it, because you know the same people going to come over there to argue with you. Tell me I'm lying, Kevin J.
That's all truth, right?
Y'all know that's why you do it. Y'all are aiming at certain people who y'all already know don't agree, have disagreed, and have shown you they're going to continue to disagree. So why are you trying to bait them? Y'all think I don't see, y'all don't know clickbait titles when I see it? Even if it's not for me. I know who you're trying to get to run up in there. We should be ashamed of ourselves. Oh, I know if I put this title right here, I know Bleedo gonna show up. Even when I did that class, When Does the Day Begin? And I know that's something me and Bleedo arguing about like 11 years ago, 12 years ago. I honestly, on God, did not know or expect him to show up. I thought he was like so over that. So that was not for him. And y'all notice when I do classes, it's because y'all be requested. I try to kill the controversy. I'm a controversy killer. I don't like controversy, y'all. I like to kill it. Some people like controversy. They like arguments. They like strife. Y'all live for that stuff. I try to settle stuff. I try to end stuff. That's why when I question people, when they come on the stage, I'm questioning them about what the Bible says. When I see them start deterring from what the Bible says, I'm done. You just like strife. A lot of y'all are argumentative and don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. You like it when there's a bunch of strife going on among us. I like peace. This class is about ending controversy. Not settling an argument, ending a controversy, meaning like we ain't arguing about this no more. Don't bring this up to me. I done been in rooms before where brothers try to be in rooms, the same room with another brother they argue with, and everything going good. They come out something completely different than the brother bring up. Yeah, Andre, well, let me ask you about this. Try to throw that out there again. That Dre already don't fit. I'm done talking to you about that, but they try to bait you back in. I'm done. I can have Captain Tavariok on my stage without trying to get him to debate about the virgin birth. I already know how he feel about that. He know how I feel about that. Now, if he wants to have a formal debate about that, that's one thing, but just having him on the stage and everybody start attacking him. Hey, Cap, what you think about that virgin birth? Why are we doing that? We ain't even talking about that. Why are we doing that? See, that's what we do. We like that strife. A lot of y'all ain't got peace of mind because you don't got peace. Y'all don't even really know what peace is. A lot of y'all don't know what peace. You'll be surprised how many people think they are at peace and they're not. Y'all know what I be putting out here is stuff to preserve peace. And I keep telling y'all, man, peace starts with peace of mind. And a lot of y'all don't got peace of mind. And I know that because I see what you're doing. But this is a commandment. We need to stop. And if you don't obey, you're going to burn with the people you're trying to reach. That's crazy. You going right there with them. I told you to stop. You don't know how to pay attention. You don't follow directions. I said stop. You don't want to hear it. Even atheists can understand that. Let it go. Go talk to somebody else. All these people are just starving for the truth. And Josh wasting his time going back and forth with Bleedo. What I look like doing that? And I'm just using him as an example. I'm not saying the brother has no truth at all. I'm just saying this is somebody who I've been knowing for like 12 or 13 years who has still attempted to try to engage me in a debate about something we both have disagreed on and neither one of our positions have changed. Done means done. It don't mean done and then 12 years later, let's crank it up again. It means
hey, Josh,
done.
You're also cheating the people who are needing that for their walk.
Exactly.
Going back and forth with him, you're cheating somebody else. That's ultimately what you're saying.
Exactly. I'm not going to do that. But let's see where Paul got this, I'm pure and your blood is on your own head from. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3.
Oh.
We're going to read verses 16 to 19. It was a prophet statement when he said that.
Mm.
Just let you know that that's what we're supposed to do. We forget that when we're teaching these people, we're trying to get their blood off of us because we know and they don't. That's the whole point. We're out here trying to win souls, not arguments. A lot of y'all are trying to win arguments, trying to win debates. I'm trying to win souls. That's why Paul said the statement that he said. He wasn't like, You know, I cut you, I debunk you, you just get mad at me and try to kick me out because you can't handle what I'm saying. No, you know what he said to them? Once they showed that they didn't want to hear it, he shook his raiment, shook that dust off, and said, yo, I've done my job. I'm clean. Your blood be on your own head. What did that even mean when he said that? He was drawing upon prophet terminology. Let's see where he got that from. This is Ezekiel 3:16-19. When you get there, read
Ezekiel 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel 3:16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at thy mouth, and give them warning from thee.
Mm-hmm.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to harm the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thy hand.
Now look what God told Ezekiel. Verse 17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him no warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. Why do you think I keep saying, Kevin, I'm trying to save you from you? Why do you think I'm saying that? Right?
Yeah.
The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. He's going to still die as a sinner, but his blood will I require at your hand. In other words, that person's blood would have been upon Ezekiel.
Right.
Because he knew they were wicked, but he didn't warn them. He let them die in their wickedness. That's what Paul was talking about. That's why Paul said, your blood is on your head. Now read verse 19. This is what Paul was really talking about right here. Go ahead and read.
Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul.
But you have delivered me and saved your soul. You don't save your life.
Right.
See, Paul knew that once you are put out there to preach the gospel, once you have taken upon that responsibility, that's your job. You're warning the people from God, destroying them in everlasting fire. So Paul's attitude when they didn't want to hear it was, I've done my job. I'm shaking off the dust of my raiment against you as a testimony. That's evidence, by the way, that I've done my job. Your blood be upon your own head. I am clean. A lot of y'all ain't even got the attitude that that's why you're out here doing this. Y'all just looking for somebody to debate, to look superior to. You supposed to be out here trying to save souls. And trying to save your own soul by making sure that you've done your job and warning the people. That means that Paul knew that that was the rule of the gospel.
Mm.
You're supposed to be out here warning the people. How you going to warn the people if you keep arguing with the same person over and over again? All these other people you're going to be warning, their blood is on your head. Because you're not even warning them. You're too busy arguing with a Pluto. You're stuck in a room listening to other people argue about stuff that they're going to just keep arguing about. You're just sitting there. You ain't supposed to be there. Either go out and try to reach other, if you're on Clubhouse anyway, go out and try to find other people or just do something else in general. But don't be an audience to somebody you don't already ship the dust off your feet to. You're supposed to keep it moving. That's like me sitting in Bleedo's room listening to him argue about when does the day start with somebody else. I'm not arguing with him. I'm just sitting there. But why am I sitting there listening to somebody I've taken the dust off my feet against as a testimony to them? Why am I sitting there listening to him argue against somebody else that represents my view? That's the same as me doing it. I'm supposed to leave and go out and try to teach people what I think is the truth of the gospel.
Right.
Y'all are some lazy servants. You don't be sitting here listening and be, like I said, some of y'all know people open up rooms just for that, to attract the same people. It's going to be sad on Judgment Day. We're going to be thinking we're going to put that work in. I told you to leave that person alone. What are you doing? I'm trying to save you from you. I'm trying to save your soul. I'm trying to save your sanity. I'm trying to save you time. But some of y'all just determined to go to hell. Determined. And I'm not getting in the way of anybody who's determined to go to hell. Somebody who on the way but don't know, I stand between them and the lake of fire. But if you determined, I'm going to stand aside and let you walk right off that cliff. This is what Paul knew. You're supposed to be out here trying to get this blood off of your hands or sometimes into your head. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Once they don't want to hear it, you let them know, yo, I did my job. I don't told you this truth. You don't want to hear it. Your blood is on you. I'm clean from you. I'm going to go teach somebody else. And that's what you do. Now, what do we do? Well, let's open up a room and put a title in it, like Kev of the Dust said in the chat, with a bunch of emojis to attract them over here so we can keep on disobeying the gospel. Wow. We in trouble, sisters and brothers. It's like the further we come, the further I see we have to go. Let's move on. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. We winding it down. The Caleb of the Dust said, it was either Caleb of the Dust, he'll let me know if it was him. But somebody said, you need to do that dust of your feet lesson again. Maybe it was Antoine, I don't remember. Somebody said that a couple of weeks ago, you need to do that class again. This is a commandment. Don't be on Clubhouse telling people, y'all need to stop eating pork. Well, then you need to stop arguing with me. Who is this? Oh, this is Josh. Josh, that you? I thought you been telling me to stop eating pork. Why are you still in this room telling me to stop eating pork? Don't the gospel also say, shake off the dust of your feet against me? You going to hell with me too? Dang, you got me. You're going to be real embarrassed. Somebody hit you with that one day. Y'all don't want to obey the gospel. Y'all want to obey the parts of it that y'all like. Christians like the fuzzy feeling parts of it. You know, love your neighbor, forgiveness, mercy, charity. They like that part. But anything that even feels like a precept, nope, we ain't trying to do that. You feel me? We ain't trying to do that. And when it comes to the Hebrews, you know what I'm saying? Anything that feels like it's done decently in order, they don't want nothing to do with that because they like being chaotic. They like being wild. They like wilding out. But we're supposed to be about this truth. That's why I don't waste my time with people. You follow what I'm saying? I don't. You come with the same thing, I'm going to dismiss you off the stage. Like, bye. Now, if you're telling me you got something new, and y'all don't seem to do it. I give people opportunities. If it's the same person, same argument, but something new, you got something new to bring, I listen to that. But if it's the same old, man, get up out of here, man. What is wrong with you? That's the spirit of strife, y'all. That's a demonic spirit. I'm going to do a class on that. There's a lot of demons on this app, y'all. Y'all have no idea. A lot of spiritual warfare going on. Y'all have no idea.
You got to bring that one out. I want to hear that.
No doubt. Y'all have no idea. Loving to argue. Just love it. Ooh. That's a demon. You got a demon on you. You don't even understand that, do you? You really don't. But this is Acts chapter 20. This is Paul again. Look at the terminology that he's using. 25 to 27. Acts chapter 20, 25 to 27.
This is Acts chapter 20, verse 25. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men.
What did he mean when he said I'm pure from the blood of all men, Kevin?
He's warned everybody.
Exactly. Ain't nobody blood on me.
That's right.
That meant that he knew that preaching the gospel meant warning everybody. That's what you're supposed to be out here doing. Y'all too busy, stuck, arguing with them. You're supposed to warn them. They don't want to heed the warning. Cool. Keep it moving. Find some other people to warn. Preach the gospel too. Read the next verse, please.
For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
For I have not shunned, which means avoided, to declare unto you all the counsel of God. They just come out everything that the gospel teaches or the word of God. I have shown you everything. Why is Paul talking like he could be damned for not doing his job?
Mm-hmm.
Because he could have been. A lot of y'all consider yourself to be preachers and disciples. What are you doing on Clubhouse? Are you telling people the counsel of God, and if they don't hear it, are you shaking off the dust of your feet and going and declaring it to somebody else who hasn't heard it? Or are you stuck arguing with the same people over and over again like a lazy, unprofitable servant? Going against the gospel. Opening up rooms with clickbait titles to get the same people to come in and argue with them over and over again. Instead of going out into this world on Clubhouse or otherwise and trying to reach people who've never even heard this before. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I love my brothers. I love Corey Brewer. I love Mal Halab. But I'm not interested in debating or talking to either one of them. Not about something we disagree on, because I already know their view on it. We've talked about this stuff before. Why would I want to talk to them? And they should feel the same way about me. This ain't a shot. This is reality. Yo, Josh ain't trying to hear that salvation only for Israel thing. We know he don't believe that. Why would we keep trying to push that on him? I don't want to talk to them about that. That's done. I'm shaking the dust off my feet concerning that. Y'all don't want to believe it. And some of y'all know the people who don't want to hear what y'all have to say have zero rebuttal for what you presented. They just don't believe. And you still talking to them? They're not even putting up a decent fight anymore. And you still talking to them. That's a lazy, unprofitable, damned to hell servant. Because you disobeying the gospel. You're literally stuck on stupid. Let it go. Paul knew it, and everybody with him knew it. That's why Caleb of the Dust has a very adamant, stern attitude about separation. When you leave somebody, ain't that separating, Kevin J?
Yes, sir.
If I depart from you, every time you read it, Paul and his companions, they depart. They separate. Like, yo, okay, you don't want to hear it? We out. They even told the people. You know, when they had the opportunity, when they weren't sneaking out for fear of their lives, when they could tell the people, they would let them know, yo, I'm done with you. They even let them know who we finna go preach to. Hey, I'm finna go talk to the Gentiles. I'm clean. My blood is not on you. Y'all ain't trying to get nobody's blood off of y'all. Y'all trying to pile up more blood. Because every second you spend not shaking off the dust of your feet by arguing with the same people you should have moved on years ago from, that's somebody's blood on your head that you didn't warn in time. Paul knew that. That's why Paul used that kind of terminology. He knew that was part of the gospel. Let's move on. And you don't got to necessarily move literally somewhere. We're on an app. You just open up a room and just talk about some stuff. It ain't got to be the same controversial stuff. Talk about some stuff. People have stopped by. I ain't never heard this before. This is the gospel. Reach new people. See, I like looking in the audience and not recognizing the majority of people in this audience right now. I don't know these people, but I like that.
I like that. You know, I know my ABT people, you know, most of them got their own ABT thumbnail, right? But a lot of people in this audience, I don't know you. But I like that. That means that you heard what we're teaching and you came to hear something that obviously you weren't getting anywhere else. That's the way it's supposed to be. I don't want to look in the audience and see the same people every week. I want to see them and some more people. Y'all understand what I'm saying? New people. Because that means our message is reaching new people. That's how it's supposed to be. Paul and Barnabas, they kept it moving. Jesus told his disciples and those 70 to keep it moving. Get in, preach his word. If they hear it, you know what I'm saying? It's a good house. You know, preach peace to it, all the other good stuff. If they don't hear it, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Keep it moving. Read the book of Acts. Paul stayed moving and traveling. This is an app. I mean, come on, man. On an app, you literally have the ability to be all over the planet without even leaving your house. And some of y'all still too lazy to move. You understand what I'm saying? You're not even digitally moving. Dang. How lazy is that, Kevin? The apostle had to actually get out and travel.
Right.
Y'all don't even want to digitally travel. Man, you ain't going to have no excuse. You're going to be sorry. I have to believe on Sunday, baby. He's going to be straight up calling people sorry. They're going to be his bad words. You sorry, dude. You tell me. Come on, y'all. I'm like I tell y'all, I talk to y'all. I don't talk at y'all. I talk to y'all. Just like we family. Family don't mince words. Family tell you just how it is. Right? You don't even want to move digitally. That means you ain't even got to literally move nowhere. Hey, y'all know that's sorry. Right? Well, let's move on. Where we stop at? We said I'm clean. Right. Yeah. Okay, let's move on. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19. And we only got one more after that. Right, man, shake off that dust of your feet, man. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to be locked in eternal conflict with the same people so you can't get out and preach to other people. Y'all don't even understand that, man. It's the same people, same controversial topics, same. You ain't cut tie with these people yet. Even if they're in the same room with you and they try to come for you while you're in there trying to reach other people, you just tell that brother or that sister politely, look, we don't talk about this before. You got your view of it. I got mine. Neither one of us is changing our view. So you go and you talk to the other people in this room about it, and I'll say what I got to say about it. But if we're in here and that's the topic on the table, then I'm leaving the room. Because that's still going to be me dealing with them. Look, what y'all in here talking about? When does the day begin? Okay, well, I see what you call it over here. You know, Bleedo in this room too. So I'm going to let y'all have that. I'll come back when y'all talking about something else because I'm not trying to get lost into it.
And that room just opened.
What room?
Never mind.
When does the day begin?
I'm going to take a pill.
When does the day begin? Send me a screenshot.
It's 4.
See? I told y'all, man. See? That's crazy. But it's not the first time I don't put something out there and then the spirit shows you in real time that I'm telling the truth. It wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah.
Right? This Acts chapter 19, 8 to 10. Y'all see?
Acts chapter. You said 19, correct?
Yep, verses 8 to 10.
Acts 19, verse 8. And we went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God.
This is talking about Paul again. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, that means arguing, debating, reasoning, discussing, and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, which is the gospel. Y'all know that, right? Which is the gospel. Watch what it says in verse 9.
9. But when the divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus.
He stayed there arguing with them. He's in Ephesus, by the way. Doesn't say that. He stayed there arguing with them. Doesn't say that.
No.
He kept trying to convince them. Doesn't say that. What does it say? He departed from them. He left. He shook off the dust of his feet. He shook his raiment. And he went as far as, he said, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. He went somewhere else and started trying to present his case somewhere else. We don't do that, do we, Kevin J? Step on Clubhouse.
Sure.
We don't do that. That's every, that, this is a commandment. This is a rule of the gospel. Y'all not following the rules. Y'all have to understand that. This is not an option. You have to shake off the dust of your feet. They don't want to hear it. Keep it moving. That's what they did. He said he departed him and he kept it moving. Y'all setting up camp. Y'all getting y'all mail forwarded there. Y'all don't plan on leaving. That's why y'all don't see me on Clubhouse in the same room arguing with the same people over the same stuff. I'm not going to keep doing that. Same people. I want to argue with you. No. I'm shaking off the dust of my feet against you, bro. That means I'm done with you, man. I'm doing what my master commanded me to do. It ain't even got nothing to do with you. They'll take it personal. You know, Dre, thank you too good. Triller, thank you too good. It ain't got nothing to do with you, bro. It's nothing personal. Just like me choosing not to eat pork is nothing personal against the pig. You feel me? It's just my Lord and Savior. My God tells me I'm not supposed to eat pork. It ain't nothing personal against the pig. It's like a woman getting mad at you, Kevin J, and holding it personal against you because you don't want to cheat on your wife with her. It ain't nothing personal against you. I love my wife, and I'm not trying to commit adultery because my Lord and Savior said don't commit adultery. People try to make stuff about them. Ain't got nothing to do with you, bro. I'm not talking to you because it tells me to take off the dust of my feet. But if you want to make it personal, you give me a freaking headache. You bore me. You're talking about the same thing over and over again. Now, if you want some personal reasons, I give it some personal reasons. But at the top of all of that, it's because my Lord and Savior told me to stop talking to you over and over again. He wanted us to be done, y'all. I hope y'all understand that. He wants us to be done with people. Y'all don't know how to be done with people. Like I said, y'all got attachment issues. Y'all are emotionally attached to some people and you don't want to admit it. And when we hear that word emotion, we always think in love. No. You have an emotional connection. It could be love. It could be hate. It could even be anger. I'm going to have to do a class on that. Because a lot of us are emotionally connected to people and we don't even know it. We think the only emotional connection is love. Shake off the dust of your feet. Don't even let an emotional connection build. And that's another thing. That's what happens. You stick around them so long, you're going to develop an emotional connection with them. That's human nature. That's why they told them to keep it moving. I know some of y'all, if you're working on a job with some people long enough, just working on a job. By human nature, you're going to develop some kind of emotional connection with the people because you've been working around them so long. This is even in slavery time in America. This is why the slave people are the slaves were stupid. They used to love their masters. How stupid can you be? It didn't have anything to do with anybody being stupid. They was around these people for so long, you're going to build some kind of emotional connection to them. Sometimes it was love. That's just human nature. So before any kind of emotional connection can even formulate, keep it moving as soon as you see they don't want to hear it. But a lot of y'all already know, got connected. It could be through love. It could be through hate. It could be through anger. It could be through envy. Something is keeping you from shaking the dust off your feet and moving on from those people. You got to figure out what it is. But you better figure it out soon, or it's a lake of fire for you.
Let's go to the last one. Let's go to Titus, chapter 3. I try to tell people, Kevin. I try to tell them. Nobody wants to believe. Everybody want to keep going against this gospel. I pray, I really do, that y'all take heed, because this is just as important as love your neighbor.
Yeah.
This is all rules of the gospel. And they wonder why Kevin J. be real hard on that separation and be going in saying, y'all bring this on yourselves when y'all be talking about headaches and blood pressure rising and stuff. He's right. You do bring it on yourself. But I take a headache and a little high blood pressure any day over the lake of fire.
No doubt.
If that ain't an incentive for you to stop, I don't know what is.
Right.
Right? This is Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, and we're going to read it in other translations for y'all to see. See, this is Paul instructing Titus on how to deal with other believers. And more often than not, we're dealing with other believers. Just because they got a different understanding, they're still believers, right? They're still believers in some sense, right? But watch what it says. And when I say believers here, we're talking about messianic believers, people who claim they believe in Jesus, right? So this is Titus chapter 3 and verse 10. Read that, please.
A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject.
Instead, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, which means warning, reject. And a heretic is a person that causes schisms or division, right? It says after the first and second warning, reject. Paul just said two times, right?
Yes, it
is. Reading that for him.
Knowing that he that is such is subverted and since being condemned of himself.
It says, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth being condemned of himself. I told you these people are damned. I've been saying it all night. But you'll be damned with them if you keep messing with them after the first or second warning. But let me show y'all how this reads in other translations. And y'all gonna be like, wow. Because these people know. First, we're going to read it in the ERV, which is the easy-to-read version. This is Titus 3 and 10. Look how it reads there, Kevin. Give a warning to all those who cause arguments. That's all I see on Clubhouse. Okay. If they continue to cause trouble after a second warning, then don't associate with them. Well, dang.
Good point.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Right.
Kevin the Dutch could have said it better himself. If they give a warning to those who cause arguments, if they continue to cause trouble after a second warning, then don't associate with them. What does it mean to stop associating with somebody, Kevin? What does that mean?
Leave them alone.
Separate from them. Then verse 11 says, you know that people like that are evil and sinful. Their sins prove they are wrong. So you ain't got to prove them wrong. Their sins prove they're wrong. Let me show you how this read in the GW, or also known as the God's Word Translation. This is Titus 3, verse 10. Have nothing to do with people who continue to teach false doctrine after you have warned them once or twice. We all be on here saying they teach you false doctrine. Don't we, Captain Jay?
Yeah.
It says have nothing to do. What does have nothing to do with? Does that mean you're going to be sitting in their room? Does it mean that, Captain?
No.
What does have nothing to do with somebody mean? That means you're not at their house. You're not texting them. You're not on the phone with them. You're not in their room. You depart. Have nothing to do with. Have nothing to do with people who continue to teach false doctrine after you have warned them once or twice. Verse 11. You know that people like this are corrupt. They are sinners condemned by their own actions.
Notice that Paul is talking to Titus like you know what kind of people they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, how many times you heard me say this to y'all? Y'all know what kind of people these are. I tell y'all that all the time. One more place, Bible in Basic English, Titus 3 and 10. Listen to this one. A man whose opinions are not those of the church, after a first and second protest, is to be kept out of your society. Wow.
Excommunicato.
That's what that is, right? Verse 11. Clearly, he is in error and a sinner being self-judged. They said he's self-judged. In other words, he's on self-check. Do y'all see this? See, they didn't play about this constantly going back and forth with people after they don't want to hear it. They kept it moving. Get up out of here. See, my favorite one, though, Kevin, was the ERV. I'm going to read that one more time. Titus 3:10. Give a warning to all those who cause arguments. If they continue to cause trouble after a second warning, then don't associate with them.
That's super plain.
Super plain. And I still see y'all associating with them. You're in their rooms. You're on their stages. You're going back and forth with them after you know they don't want to hear it. You don't know how to shake the dust off your feet. You won't do it. That means you're disobeying the gospel. I don't know why you think you're in the clear and you're disobeying the gospel, even though everywhere we read said that if you disobey the gospel, you're going to hell. A lot of y'all are going to be going to hell for not leaving people alone who are going to hell. That makes sense to me. That makes a lot of sense to me. They going to hell. You don't want to leave them alone. You're going to go with them.
Yeah.
You tried to save them. Take solace in that. Yo, I tried to save them. So, sisters and brothers, I hope that you understand the rules of the gospel and that one of the most important ones is shaking off the dust of your feet, which means if you have tried to show people this truth and they don't want to hear it, you're supposed to shake off the dust of your feet, which is a euphemism for simply saying, I'm done dealing with somebody. But don't forget why you're dealing with them in the first place. You're trying to save their souls. That's why Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to show you how to be fishers of people. I'm going to show you how to catch and convert people over to this truth. But he couldn't show you how to do that without giving you rules. And y'all have been breaking the rules of the gospel. And anybody who does not obey the gospel is going to hell, even you, the preacher of the gospel. So I hope and pray that whoever needed to hear this lesson heard it. Because if you keep breaking the rules of the gospel and not shaking off the dust of your feet against people who don't want to hear what you're saying, then you're going to be done, well done, in the lake of fire. We'll be back after these brief announcements. All right, everybody. First of all, shout out to all 84 of you who are still in the room. We'd like to thank you for coming out. We have classes every week, every Saturday. We open the clubhouse at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I try to play some nice inspirational music for you for about 30 minutes, and class starts around 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If anybody's interested in ordering a past class, you can do so by going to our online store. This information is under my thumbnail. Just simply click on my thumbnail if you want to see this information. The online store address is absolutebibletruth.com/store. Again, that's absolutebibletruth.com/store. And I've seen some new names pop up on that store taking advantage of this information. So shout out to the people who started tapping into some of this information. Over 200 classes on the online store, and eventually I will add more. Also, if anybody's interested in supporting this ministry, if you feel blessed by what you're hearing and would just like to show some support, you can do it one of two ways. This information is also under my thumbnail, under my bio. The first way is through PayPal using our email address. I mean, you can also contact us at this address. It's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. That's absolutebibletruth, the number 4, EVA@yahoo.com. You don't spell out the word 4. You actually type the numerical digit 4. So that's absolutebibletruthforever@yahoo.com. And, of course, the other way you can donate is through Cash App, which is the simpler way for most people, using the Cash App tag, which is $ABTM, Again, that's $ABTM, and that stands for Absolute Bible Truth Ministries. At this time, we will bring in Brother Ariel, a.k.a. the Prince of Positivity. He will give the announcements as well as a summary of today's class. Ariel, are you there, brother?
Shalom, can you hear me?
You are loud and clear, sir.
Awesome, all praises. So, today's class title is Rules of the Gospel, Shaking Off the Dust of Your Feet. And we learned that today we're not supposed to be going around continuously arguing with the same people. We're not supposed to continue to engage in conversations with the same people who don't agree with us, who don't